Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together by praising Him. Charles Wesley wrote this resurrection hymn, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." Charles Wesley was born in 1707. That was over 300 years ago. He had 17, yes, 17 brothers and sisters. When he was in university, he and some friends started a club called the Holy Club. They would study the Bible, pray together, fast from food, have devotions together, go to communion services, and help those in need. He wrote the poem that we now know as the song, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." It's a song of praise to God. Can you count how many times they say hallelujah? They don't just say hallelujah. It goes hallelujah. How many times do they do that? Let's find out.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high.
We are wrapping up this corner and practicing the books of the Bible. We should know the entire New Testament books by now. Do you? Well, let's say them together. Are you ready? You say them right along with me. Here we go. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Good job. Let's do our Bible lesson now. Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back. I am so glad that you are here with me again today. We are finishing up this quarter of our story about Jesus and how he has risen. In fact, that's this week's lesson title is "The Lord is Risen." That's some pretty good news. Do you know why? Because Jesus died and he rose. That means that we have salvation because of him and what he did. Now, I want to hear from you. I know that you've been listening to this for quite a while now, and I want to hear from you what you think about this podcast, what you enjoy, maybe even some things that you would like to hear in the future. I want to hear from you. So write to me at seedpod@startingwithjesus.com. That's seedpod@startingwithjesus.com. Let me know what you think. Maybe you have some Bible questions that you want to send me. Go for it. I would love to hear from you. And you can even tell me where you're listening from, because we have kids all over the world that are listening to this program. And we are so excited that you're with us today. Before we get started, what do we always do? We always pray. You're right. So let's bow our heads and let's talk to Jesus. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this new day, for this new week as we study the last few teachings that you gave to your disciples before you left. We love you so much. Help us to stay committed to you, to follow you with our whole hearts. Amen. Jesus had died in our place on Friday, and early Sunday morning he came out of the tomb. He was alive. That was some pretty exciting stuff. The soldiers who had been guarding the tomb knew that he was alive because, guess what? They had seen him. But they had taken what? What had the priests given them? They had taken money. The priests had given them money so that they would lie and say that Jesus' disciples had stolen his body while they slept. Another way to say this is that they took a bribe. Do you know what a bribe is? It's getting paid to do something that is wrong. So for example, if somebody found out that I had done something wrong and I didn't want them to tell anybody, I might go to them and say, hey, I'll pay you some money, or hey, I'll take care of your electric bill, or I'll do something for you if you don't tell. You do something for me, I'll do something for you. That's kind of how it worked. The soldiers took a bribe. Now, normally soldiers are killed for sleeping on duty, so the priest said that they would ask Pilate to protect them and not to let them be killed. Well, neither the soldiers nor the priests knew that someone had already hurried to tell Pilate what had happened, and Pilate was terrified. When the priests went to talk to him, he knew that they were telling him lies, and he did not promise to protect the soldiers until he talked to them himself. He needed to hear the whole story, what had really happened. The soldiers were afraid to lie to Pilate, so they told him just what had happened. There was an angel and he came and he appeared to us, and all of a sudden the stone rolled away. Nobody even touched it, and then Jesus came out. Pilate knew that they were telling them the truth. Now, we don't know what happened to the soldiers, but we do know what happened to Pilate. From that time on, Pilate didn't have any peace. He knew that he had allowed the Son of God to be killed. And you know what? He died not too long afterwards, because he couldn't handle that guilt that he felt, and he ended up losing everything. He was so afraid that if he didn't bow to the priests and do what the priests wanted, then they would tell on him and then he would get in trouble. But did you know that that's what ended up happening anyway? Yeah. He lost it all, and he compromised, and he lived with a guilty conscience until the day he died. Boys and girls, it is never okay to compromise. Do you know what compromise is? It means to do what is wrong, even though you know what is right. To say, well, if I just do this, it'll be okay. That's not okay. Well, the women who were at the cross when Jesus died had followed as his body was taken to the tomb that Friday afternoon. And very early, Sunday morning, they brought more spices for his body. So what had they done on Sabbath? Do you know? They had rested on Sabbath. Mary Magdalene was with the women who were the last to leave the tomb on Friday afternoon. And she rested on Sabbath just like all the others. And then she was one of the first ones to come back on Sunday morning. Now, Mary Magdalene was not Jesus' mother. That was a different Mary. Have you ever met somebody who has the same name as you? I have a son named Aiden. When I named him Aiden, I didn't know of any other Aidens. But now that I have my son, Aiden, now when I'll call to him at the park, these other little boys look over. Oh, are you calling me? Because their name is Aiden too. There are more than one Mary in the Bible, just like there's more than one John and more than one Mark. There's more than one Mary. Well, this is Mary Magdalene, and she was a good friend of Jesus. It was still dark that Sunday morning, and Mary hurried toward the tomb. She wondered who would move that huge stone from the door of the tomb. She had come bringing spices to put on Jesus' body. Imagine Mary's surprise when she arrived at the tomb. She didn't see anyone, but the stone, it was rolled away. She ran and told Peter and John that Jesus' body had been taken from the tomb. She didn't know what had happened. Let's look it up and see what had happened. John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. John is the fourth book in the New Testament, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 20, good, verse 1 and 2. The chapters are the big numbers. The verses are the little numbers. John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2.
Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him."
So the Bible gives us clues about what happened, right? It was the first day of the week. So what day is that? Sunday. Good job. It was still what? It was still dark. And what did Mary see? That the stone had been rolled away. You're right. So what did she immediately do? She ran to tell the disciples. How would you have felt if you were Mary? You come to the tomb. There's no soldiers. There's no body. There's no people. Huh. Would you have felt a little nervous? Like, wait, what just happened? What am I supposed to do? I think I would. All of a sudden, she didn't know what to expect. Her plans had changed. Here she had come to anoint Jesus' body, and now there was no body. There was no soldiers. There was no anything. What was she to do? It reminds me of some friends that were flying to Denver. They got up really early. They were all ready to fly from Michigan to Denver. And so they packed up all their luggage. They got in the car. They drove all the way to the airport. They got to the airport. And just as they were checking in, they were told, "Your flight has been canceled. Your plans have to change." And sure enough, their flight had been canceled and they could not fly out until the next day. And they would have to get up really, really, really early in the morning because the flight had been canceled. I kind of wonder if that's how Mary felt. All of a sudden, she was expecting one thing, and now she didn't know what to expect. Nothing was the same. Just like my friends, that their flight was canceled. They had to change their plans. Talk to the people who they were staying with and let them know that they would be there a day later. It changed. That can be kind of frustrating when it changes, can't it? But does God know what's best? Oh, yes, he does. And did he know that Jesus being raised from the dead would be even better than Mary anointing Jesus' dead body? Yes. Even when our plans have to change, even when we don't know why and we don't understand, because Mary didn't understand at that time, we can still trust that God is in control and he has a better plan than we could ever imagine. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your plans and your ways that are higher than our ways, that are better than our ways. Help us to trust you. Help us to follow you. Even when we have to change our plans, even when things are not going as we expected, help us to rely on you. Amen. We have a new memory verse, Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says, "He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's what Jesus says to us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Aren't you glad? I am.
Hebrews 13, verse 5.
He has said,
"I will never leave you nor forsake you."
He has said,
"I will never leave you nor forsake you."
He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you."
Hey, moms and dads, have your kids been enjoying the Seed Pod? Oh, we love putting these programs together for you, and we're praying that it is a huge blessing in your home. Although this program is free, there are still expenses and costs to recording and producing them. We are asking if you would prayerfully consider financially supporting our ministry, Starting with Jesus. If you would like to make a one-time donation, or if you would consider partnering with us through ongoing monthly support, we would be eternally grateful. Either way, you can make a tax-deductible donation on our website, startingwithjesus.com/donation. That's startingwithjesus.com/donation. You can help us encourage our young ones to start each and every day with Jesus.
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.